Come, Holy Spirit, fill the hearts of your faithful and kindle in them the fire of your love. Send forth your Spirit, and they shall be created, and you shall renew the face of the earth. Let us pray, O God, who has taught the hearts of the faithful by the light of the Holy Spirit, grant that in the same Spirit we may be truly wise and ever rejoice in his consolation, through Christ our Lord. Amen. Christ is alive. This is the great truth which fills our faith with meaning. Jesus, who died on the cross, has risen. He has triumphed over death. He has overcome sorrow, anguish, and the power of darkness. Do not be terrified, was how the angels greeted the women who came to the tomb. Do not be terrified. You are looking for Jesus of Nazareth, who was crucified. He has risen. He is not here. This is the day which the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Easter is a time of joy, a joy not confined to this period of the liturgical year, but to be found really and fully in the Christian's heart. For Christ is alive. He is not someone who has gone, someone who existed for a time and then passed on, leaving us a wonderful example and a great memory. No, Christ is alive. Jesus is the Emmanuel, God with us. His resurrection shows us that God does not abandon his own. He promised he would not. Can a woman forget her baby that is still unweaned, pity no longer the son she bore in her womb? Even these may forget, yet I will not forget you. And he has kept his promise. His delight is still to be with the sons of men. Christ is alive in his church. I tell you the truth. It is to your advantage that I go away, for if I do not go away, the counselor will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you. That was what God planned. Jesus, dying on the cross, gave us the Spirit of truth and life. Christ stays in his church, in its sacraments, its liturgy, its preaching, in all that it does. In a special way, Christ stays with us in the daily offering of the Holy Eucharist. That is why the Mass is the center and source of Christian life. In each and every Mass, the complete Christ, head and body, is present. Per ipsum, ecod ipsum, et in ipsum. For Christ is the way, he is the mediator, in him we find everything. Outside of him, our life is empty. In Jesus Christ, and taught by him, we dare to say, Our Father. We dare to call the Lord of heaven and earth our Father. The presence of the living Christ in the host is the guarantee, the source, and the culmination of his presence in the world. Christ is alive in Christians. Our faith teaches us that man, in the state of grace, is divinized, filled with God. We are men and women, not angels. We are flesh and blood, people with sentiments and passions, with sorrows and joys. And this divinization affects everything human. It is a sort of foretaste of the final resurrection. Christ has risen from the dead, the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. For since by a man came death, by a man also comes resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all die, so in Christ all will be made to live. Christ's life is our life, just as he promised his apostles at the Last Supper. If anyone love me, he will keep my word, and my Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our home with him. That is why a Christian should live as Christ lived, making the affections of Christ his own, so that we can exclaim with St. Paul, It is now no longer I that live, but Christ that lives in me. I wanted to review with you briefly some of the ways in which Christ is alive today. Jesus Christ, yesterday, and today, and yes, forever. Because this is the basis of our Christian living. If we take a look at the course of human history, we will see progress and advances. Science has made man more aware of his power. Technology today controls the world much more than in the past, helping men to reach their dream of a greater level of culture, unity, and material well-being. Some people are perhaps inclined to tone down this optimism, reminding us that men still suffer from injustice and wars, at times worse than those in the past. They may well be right, but above and beyond these considerations, I prefer to remember that in the religious sphere, man is still man and God is still God. In this sphere, the peak of progress has already been reached. And that peak is Christ, Alpha and Omega, the beginning of all things and their end. In the spiritual life, there is no new era to come. Everything is already there in Christ who died and rose again, who lives and stays with us always. But we have to join him through faith, letting his life show forth in ours to such an extent that each Christian is not simply Alter Christus, another Christ, but Ipse Christus, Christ himself. St. Paul gave a motto to the early Christians at Ephesus, to fill everything with the Spirit of Jesus, placing Christ at the center of everything. And I, when I am lifted up from the earth, will draw all things to myself. Through his incarnation, through his work at Nazareth, and his preaching and miracles in the land of Judea and Galilee, through his death on the cross, and through his resurrection, Christ is the center of the universe, the firstborn, and Lord of all creation. Our task as Christians is to proclaim this kingship of Christ, announcing it through what we say and do. Our Lord wants men and women of his own in all walks of life. Some he calls away from society, asking them to give up involvement in the world so that they may remind the rest of us by their example that God exists. To others, he entrusts the priestly ministry, but he wants the vast majority to stay right where they are in all earthly occupations in which they work, the factory, the laboratory, the farm, the trades, the streets of the big cities, and the trails of the mountains. In this connection, I like to think of Christ's conversation. In this connection, I like to think of Christ's conversation with the disciples going to Emmaus. As he was walking along, he meets two men who have nearly lost all hope. They are beginning to feel that life has no meaning for them. Christ understands their sorrow. He sees into their heart and communicates to them some of the life he carries within himself. When they draw near the village, he makes as if he is going to go on. But the two disciples stop him and practically force him to stay with them. They recognize him later when he breaks the bread. "The Lord," they exclaimed, "has been with us." And they said to each other, "Was not our heart burning within us while he was speaking on the road and explaining to us the scripture?" Every Christian should make Christ present among men. He ought to act in such a way that those men who know him sense the fragrance of Christ. Men should be able to recognize the Master in his disciples. A Christian knows that he is grafted onto Christ through baptism. He is empowered to fight for Christ through confirmation, called to act in the world sharing the royal, prophetic, and priestly role of Christ. He has become one and the same thing with Christ through the Eucharist, the sacrament of unity and love. And so, like Christ, he has to live for other men, loving each and every one around him and indeed all humanity. Faith helps us recognize that Christ is God. It shows that he is our Savior. It brings us to identify ourselves with him and to act as he acted. When the risen Christ frees the apostle Thomas from his doubts, showing him his wounds, Jesus exclaims, "Blessed are they who have not seen and yet have believed." And St. Gregory the Great comments that he is referring in particular to us, for we possess spiritually him whom we have not seen in the body. He is referring to us, provided our behavior agrees with our faith. A person does not truly believe unless he puts into practice what he believes. That is why St. Paul says to those whose faith is limited to words, they profess recognition of God, but in their behavior they deny him. You cannot separate the fact that Christ is God from his role as Redeemer. The Word became flesh and came into the world to save all men. With all our personal defects and limitation, we are other Christs, Christ himself, and we too are called to serve all men. We must hear and hear again his command, which remains new throughout the centuries. "Beloved," writes St. John, "I am writing you no new commandment, but an old commandment which you had from the beginning. The old commandment is the word which you have heard. Yet I am writing you a new commandment, which is true in him and in you, because the darkness is passing away and the true light is already shining. He who says he is in the light and hates his brother is in the darkness still. He who loves his brother abides in the light, and in it there is no cause for stumbling." Our Lord has come to bring peace, good news, and life to all men, not only to the rich, nor only to the poor, not only to the wise, nor only to the simple, to everyone, to the brothers, for brothers we are, children of the same Father, God. So there is only one race, the race of the children of God. There is only one color, the color of the children of God. And there is only one language, the language which speaks to the heart and to the mind without the noise of words, making us know God and love one another. This is the love of Christ, which each of us should try to practice in his own life. But to be Christ himself, we must see ourselves in him. It's not enough to have a general idea of the spirit of Jesus' life. We have to learn the details of his life, and through them, his attitudes. And especially, we must contemplate his life to derive from it strength, light, serenity, peace. When you love someone, you want to know all about his life and character so as to become like him. That is why we have to meditate on the life of Jesus from his birth in a stable right up to his death and resurrection. In the early years of my life as a priest, I used to give people presents of copies of the gospel and books about the life of Jesus. For we do need to know it well, to have it in our heart and mind, so that at any time without any book, we can close our eyes and contemplate his life, watching it like a movie. In this way, the words and actions of our Lord will come to mind in all the different circumstances of our life. In this way, we become involved in his life. It is not a matter of just thinking about Jesus, of recalling some scenes of his life. We must be completely involved and play a part in his life. We should follow him as closely as Mary, his mother, did, as closely as the first 12, the holy women, the crowds that pressed about him. If we do this without holding back, Christ's words will enter deep into our soul and will really change us. For the word of God is living and active, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing to the division of the soul and spirit, of joints and marrow, and discerning the thoughts and intentions of the heart. If we want to bring other men and women to our Lord, we must first go to the gospel and contemplate Christ's love. We can take the central events of his passion, for as he himself said, greater love has no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. But we can also look at the rest of his life, his everyday dealings with the people he met. In order to bring men his message of salvation and show them God's love, Christ, who is perfect God and perfect man, acted in a human and a divine way. God comes down to man's level. He takes on our nature completely, except for sin. Today's reading comes from St. Jose Maria Escriva's Christ is Passing By. This is the first half of the chapter, Christ's Presence in Christians.